Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game, and today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today's episode is three very different, equally important and wonderful and not so wonderful parts. I'm going to start off by talking about opening day at Polar Park today in Worcester. Then I'm going to talk about the Red Sox game. And then I'm going to play the first part of a crossover that I did with the wonderful Jason Burke, host of Locked On A's. We recorded together for an hour on Monday. And I'm going to play parts of that for you throughout this Oakland Red Sox series, which the Red Sox dropped the first game of barely an hour ago. So to start off, I went to Polar Park in Worcester for Woo Sox opening day. It's the first ever game that was played at Polar Park. The ballpark is absolutely stunning. It was a beautiful day, sunny, breezy, the perfect day for baseball. The ballpark is one of the nicest ballparks I have ever been to. Definitely, if it was bigger, would be on par with most major league ballparks. Aside from the capacity, it is on par with most major league ballparks in terms of the food, in terms of the decor, in terms of the care and detail that went into constructing and designing and decorating this ballpark. It's beautiful. I was so amazed with how much care went into this undertaking of moving the team from Pawtucket, Rhode Island to Worcester, Mass. But my favorite thing about this inaugural game was definitely the pregame ceremony. The entire ceremony was such a love letter and thank you note to the city and people of Worcester. They honored so many people from small businesses, from law enforcement and the fire department, to the frontline workers who have been fighting the pandemic, the people who are doing the vaccinations. It was just so clear how excited the franchise is to be in Worcester and how excited Worcester is to have a baseball team again. And everything about this pregame ceremony, which of course was constructed by the great Dr. Charles Steinberg, president of the Paw Sox, former executive vice president of the Red Sox, everything about this ceremony was tailored to the idea that Worcester is known as the heart of the Commonwealth. It's the middle of the state. Everything was Massachusetts themed. James Taylor and his son sang the national anthem, and when they were introduced, they used the line from one of his famous songs where he says, from Stockbridge to Boston. It was absolutely beautiful. They had a moment of silence for all of those who were lost to COVID, and they thanked the scientists. And then they brought out a bunch of Red Sox legends to throw out first pitches. Jim Lonborg, Louis Tiant, Rich Gedman, who is from Worcester and is now a coach with the team and, of course, played in the majors, Jim Rice, and, of course, Pedro Martinez. And each of these guys got standing ovations. The crowd was so excited. Everyone was so happy to see these amazing legendary figures, really reminding everybody how close the relationship is between the Red Sox and their AAA affiliates. So each of those five either threw out or caught a first pitch to various people from Massachusetts. And then they brought out Bob Cousy, 92-year-old Celtics legend. He's been living in Worcester for over 70 years. He loves it here. This was something that I was told was going to happen about a half hour before the game, but it was kept so under wraps just because he is of such advanced age, and they wanted to make sure that it was really going to happen. And he came out, and he was just supposed to say play ball, but he gave an absolutely precious speech where he joked about his age, and he thanked the crowd for being so excited to see him. I genuinely don't think he thought that he was going to get this enthusiastic of a reception just because his playing days are so far behind him. It was really heartwarming and wonderful. He ended up speaking for about 3 minutes. And if you're interested, I videotaped the entire thing and it is on my Twitter. And you can watch the entire wonderful, heartwarming moment. And so then the actual game began. And one of my favorite things was that throughout the game, they played music that was primarily female artists. Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Vanessa Carlton, Miley Cyrus, Ariana Grande, Meghan Trainor. There was so much kind of girl power music in this. And I don't know if that was intentional or if some of the guys really like pop stars and female superstar singers, but it made me really happy. There was a lot of embracing women vibe going on at the ballpark, right down to the fact that they have different areas of the ballpark that have different showcases of artifacts and memorabilia. Everything from a wall that honors Roberto Clemente to a statue of Ted Williams to a statue of Casey from the Mudville Nine, because Casey at the Bat was written in Worcester, which I learned today. And they have an area where they have glass cases full of uniforms from the Negro Leagues and the All-American Girls Professional Baseball Leagues. So the ballpark is full of history, and then it's just absolutely amazing to walk around there. It's basically like a museum. And then the game actually started. I ran into Larry Lucchino. We've met quite a few times, and he, of course, owns the Woo Sox. And he asked me what I thought of his ballpark, and I told him, honestly, it was absolutely beautiful. He said that he was totally thrilled with how this day turned out, and he was so happy to see the reception by the city, and he knew how long everyone had been waiting for this day, and it seemed like he was just absolutely thrilled, if not a little bit overwhelmed by the festivities. I also happened to see Chaim Bloom walking around the media area at, I almost said Fenway Park, at Polar Park today. And it's fitting that he was there because the Red Sox future stars were putting on an offensive showcase today. Marcus Wilson hit the first home run ever at Polar Park, and he was followed by Jaren Duran hitting two of them and Josh Ockamy hitting one that went 445 feet. And the reason I bring up Jaren Duran is because with the way that Franchy Cordero is doing in Boston, I would not be surprised if those two switch places sooner rather than later. And I'm going to talk about the Red Sox playing tonight at the major league level in a minute. But before I start talking about tonight's game in Boston, have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market, and it's absolutely amazing. They take fantasy to the next level. It's kind of like Robinhood, but for fantasy sports, and their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. So there's finally a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, and they just added baseball to the platform, so you should go check it out. Making money on Sports Trade is as simple as player values rising and falling based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy sports in that game. So the more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, just good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab a blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. And then you watch your players battle and your portfolio value rises. So go to sportstrade.com, watch their How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover
the exciting and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You will be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win instant daily Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma has already given away over $3 million in instant Karma to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Now, let's talk briefly about this Red Sox game because there's really not that much to say. And I would rather have you guys listen to me and Jason talking about all kinds of other stuff, including my undying devotion to Mitch Moreland. But basically, long story short, for the second game in a row, the Red Sox were held to just 4 hits over 9 innings. Last night, they scored 1 run. Tonight, they scored 2. Rafael Devers had a beautiful kind of barely over the monster home run. And for some reason, Bob Melvin decided to question it, but it was a home run. Other than that, this game was more of the same. And that's a problem because the Red Sox have not been able to get it together offensively over the last 2 games. And it's more understandable against the A's because they are the other best team in the American League. But it's still a problem because you are now only 2 games ahead of the rest of your division rivals. And there's no real turnaround in sight. The only thing that was really encouraging tonight was Michael Chavis going 2 for 3 and only striking out once. He's definitely making a case to stay here instead of going back to the Woo Sox. And honestly, I would rather have him up here at this point than Cordero or Dalbec. Obviously, they're going to give Dalbec a lot more time. Dustin Pedroia believes in him. He showed some flashes of power at the plate this weekend against the Orioles, but he wasn't in the lineup tonight. Michael Chavis played first base and he went 2 for 3. Other than him, there wasn't really anything to write home about. Alex Verdugo had a hit. Rafael Devers had a hit. Everybody else did literally nothing. I don't really know what else to say about that. Nathan Eovaldi had a really strong start. He went 6 innings. He only gave up 2 hits, including an earned run. He struck out 4. He only walked 2. So really good stuff from him. But then, of course, as we've seen multiple times this season, the bullpen fell apart. And yeah, it was only a 3-2 loss, but Darwinson Hernandez gave up those 2 runs. They have no middle relief besides Garrett Whitlock, basically, that they can trust to take them to Matt Barnes, to the point where by the time Hernandez was in, it was clear that they weren't going to need Matt Barnes tonight, because why waste Matt Barnes when your offense is asleep and your bullpen in the middle is blowing the game? Darwinson Hernandez lasted a third of an inning. He took the loss. He's now 0-2 on the season. His ERA has risen to 4.63. He gave up 2 earned runs on 2 hits and walked a batter. And again, we saw the fatal flaw that when the Red Sox walk the leadoff man, he scores. Adam Ottavino came in to mitigate the damage, and then Salvador Mora pitched the last 2 innings of the game. He gave up 2 hits, but it was a scoreless outing with 4 strikeouts, really encouraging for him. But that was it. And yes, obviously you need to point to the offense and say, these guys aren't hitting, this is a problem. These guys are struggling with situational hitting. These guys are not driving in runs. But at the same time, the offense shouldn't be expected to put up 10 runs every single game, or even 5 runs every single game to win. You need to be able to count on your pitchers. And this is the third season in which they have not been able to do that. 2018's pitching seems like a completely different lifetime, just in terms of how effective they were. And honestly, now when I see other teams have good pitching, I like drool over it. That's where we're at. I am jealous of your relievers. I'm jealous of your bullpen. Now, before I play part of my conversation with Jason, host of Locked On A's, you might want to bet on the A's. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON for your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Honestly, I'm a little nervous, both for this series, also for our recording. So our friend Javi, half of MLB has the day off today. We're recording on Monday, May 10th for the Tuesday series, our first time facing each other in over a year because the West Coast and East Coast did not meet last year due to COVID restrictions. So Javi tweeted from Locked On Padres, "Well, with today's Padres game postponed, what are your plans now for the day off?" And you replied, "Gonna dunk on GF Star One in a minute. I'm choosing violence." And I was like, "Oh, so that's how it's gonna be."
That is
that what we're doing today?
I think that's what we're doing today. So David Ortiz, not that good, right?
I mean,
I'm only saying that to rile you up. I don't
remember that time you guys invented Moneyball and then the Red Sox just took it and actually won with it.
Yeah, that was rude. I didn't appreciate that whatsoever.
So was the David Ortiz slander. I mean, look, it's already painful enough that A, Sean Manaea is going to pitch this week, and B, you're bringing Mitch Moreland home in a different uniform, and I'm just going to be in pain the entire time.
Off, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I'm like already heartbroken. I'm going to be wearing my Moreland jersey, my Red Sox Moreland jersey, and just weeping all week long. It's going to be so painful. I am like, I'm the biggest Mitch Moreland fan.
So who do you like more, David Ortiz or Mitch Moreland?
Okay, that's not fair. That's like asking if you...
I ask the tough questions. This is why I'm here.
Okay, but that's like saying you love grilled cheese, so you do like the bread or the cheese better. It's all part of the same sandwich. But you can't have one without
Mitch
the other.
But Mitch Moreland is part of a different sandwich now.
But not my sandwiches. I don't get to enjoy these sandwiches. I get to watching somebody else eat
a grilled cheese.
And they get to enjoy it. And so you're happy for them, but you want the sandwich.
Okay. I could see that.
I feel like we should clarify that neither of us want to eat baseball players, because I feel like there would be someone on Twitter who'd be like, "So these two Locked On hosts are cannibals." Like, no, calm down. We just love food and baseball.
I love grilled cheese, honestly.
Oh, yeah. One of the first tweets I ever had go viral was literally me just saying, like, name a better duo than grilled cheese and tomato soup. And it got like 2,000 likes. And every once in a while, someone will find it. And I don't know how, like, I guess maybe they're typing the words grilled cheese into the Twitter search or something. Okay. Someone will like randomly bring this tweet back. And I'm like, this tweet's like 3 years old. And of course, no, people got very fired up.
Legitimately, I cannot name a better combo.
Somebody replied, Pedro and Poppy. I have to give them that, but. In terms of like comfort foods, there is nothing like I might actually have to make myself grilled cheese and tomato soup after this conversation because I cannot think of anything else now.
I tried to look for it so I could like it. And I got another one from 6 days ago.
It's from January 22nd, 2020. Name a better duo than tomato soup and grilled cheese. And it got 1,769 likes and 271 quote tweets. And I was like, of all the things, like an article that I write is never going to get that much engagement.
Yeah.
Like a podcast episode that I post is never going to get that much engagement. But grilled cheese is where people care.
It's relatable. It's good content. Okay. So I have to ask, are the Red Sox good or not? I know that your bold prediction for the season was that they would be good, but were you expecting them to be running away with the division number one atop the power rankings as we record good? Okay.
No. It's funny because both of our teams started off the season terribly.
Yeah.
we went 0-3 to start the season. I always say we, and then people give me crap. Like, and I'm like, well, I'm very invested. I have no life. We, because I have no life. What were you guys like? 0-6?
0-6 and then 1-7. And then they won 13 in a row.
Right. Okay. So both of our teams, I think this is so cool actually, because not only are we quote unquote, the only two teams in the American League currently on Monday with 20 or more wins. Mm-hmm. And I think the Red Sox beat the A's to 20 wins by like
a couple of hours.
Like, no, not even. I think it was like an hour maybe. Cause somebody actually even came into my mentions was like the A's. And I was like, yeah, later that night, like, but please nitpick with me. Like, I will go to war with you. people always try to like get me, you know, like gotcha. And I'm like, I have no life. Come on. All right.
I looked it up. I did the research.
I was watching both games. I was very curious. Also, because you were playing the Rays, and we'll talk mm-hmm. about that game in a minute and that series in a minute, but you were playing the Rays. So obviously I'm directly invested because A, Mitch Moreland, B, you're coming to town, C, you're playing our division rivals. So how those games shake out directly impacts the standings. And because mm-hmm. I am now so invested in the standings because we're in first place, do you do this? Do you wake up and check the standings?
I usually do it before I go to bed because I go to bed really late. So everything's updated by then. And I'm like, oh,
right,
this
and you're
is
on
fun.
The West Coast. So
yeah, West Coast. So everything's kind of updated by then. Yeah, by the time like 10 o'clock rolls around, everybody's played.
Right. Well, unless there's like, you know, my team loves extra innings. I don't know about your team, but my team just loves, I'm like, you couldn't have lost to the Tigers in 9 innings like a normal team, you know, or the Rangers or whatever.
The A's don't like extra, like they don't play a lot of them, but since they started the ghost runner on second rule, I don't think that they've lost a game in extra innings. There may be one, but I cannot recall which one it is. So I like this rule personally. It's been fantastic for the A's.
My boyfriend hates this rule. He hates it. Every time there's an extra inning game and something happens because of this second, he just peeked his head into it. Every time that we have an extra inning game, and the Red Sox, like over the last few years, I don't know if it's every season, but there's been at least one season in the last 4 years where the Red Sox led MLB. I think it might've been 2017 in extra inning games. And it was because they quite literally could not win in 9 innings and they would need to like eke it out in 15 innings. He hates this rule. He absolutely hates it. I think they should still have the normal rule for the 10th inning. And like in the 11th or 12th, you can put the runner on second mm-hmm. because sometimes you really only need one more inning. And it's just kind of like, okay, well, this is ridiculous. But also, to be fair, I'm saying that because the Red Sox bullpen is not very good. Despite our win record, we can talk about the bullpen. But to answer your original question, I did not expect this. And I'm sure you didn't expect this either, because it's not like our team started out the season just winning or, you know, winning and then losing. It was that both of our teams started out with losing streaks mm-hmm. and then massive win streaks. I mean, the Red Sox won 9 in a row. The A's won 13 in a row. And when you get to that point, like, I don't know about you, but by the end of that win streak, I was so wrapped up. It wasn't even just about how good or bad. The Red Sox, during that winning streak, they had a 4-game series against the Twins. And that was like towards the end. I think the series finale was actually the game that ended their win streak. But the day before, they had a doubleheader to make up for a Monday cancellation game. And they won both of those games, but it was 14 innings of me just sitting there in an absolute ball of anxiety, because once your team, it's not like they go back and forth and it's like, okay, they win some, they lose some. It's like, if your team is on a streak, you're now not only invested in whether or not they're going to win the game, but what that win or loss means for the streak. And so you're like, or at least maybe it's just me and I'm insane, but I was like, so dedicated and wrapped up in the outcomes, just in terms of preserving that streak. And obviously, you know, when you do end up losing, like Red Sox and A's 2018, for example, the Red Sox started the season 17-2. And the game that ended it, I'm pretty sure the game that kind of snapped that 17-2 might have actually been the Sean Manaea no-hitter. And that was the first time they had been no-hit in 24 years and 364 days, because in typical Red Sox fashion, they couldn't go one more day to make it an even quarter of a century. They literally had to lose and get no hit one day before 25 full years of not getting no hit. And I was like, that is the most, even in a season that ended up being one of the best in franchise histories, that is just peak Red Sox of like, no, we're going to lose today, not tomorrow.
Yes.
We're going to lose today. So yes, I'm, they've exceeded my expectations. My expectations are now wildly raised. And as a result, I am very stressed out all the time. So this has been your May 11th episode of Locked On Red Sox. And when this episode is over, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Today. It'll give you all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. As always, you can follow Locked On Red Sox on Twitter at @LO_RedSox. I'm at @GFSTARR1. There's a new article about today's Woo Sox game and Louis Tion on girlatthegame.com. Make sure to follow the podcast wherever you listen to it so you never miss an episode. And as always, at all levels of the game, go Red Sox.